Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Virginia, NC State tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and let's break the game down. I'm Chris Graham, Augusta Free Press, and got to watch a good bit of the NC State Virginia Tech game this past Wednesday night. It was before the UVA game with Pitt, and so mainly I was watching, hoping that the game wouldn't run over. But as it turns out, it's an entertaining game. Learned a lot about NC State, which, boy, I'll say a couple things. I'll say one nice thing, and then one not so nice thing, I guess. Three sensational basketball talents. I'll tell you, Darion Sebron he's played at the four position. He's not a four, he's a three, but man, he is tough matchup. Tre'Quavion Smith and Jericho Helms. Just these three guys, if they had better coaching, would be the nucleus of a really good ACC team. That's the problem though. Watching these guys play, not that those three guys specifically, watching that team play, there's nothing in terms of cohesion, anything identifiable in terms of style or approach, anything resembling structure. Kevin Keats just seems to roll the ball out there and tells them to go play. So that doesn't mean, though, that this state team, 9-10 overall, having lost 8 of their last 10, started 7-2, now 9-10, they're a dangerous team because they've got three really good players, three of the best players in the ACC. But they can tend to be as dangerous to themselves as to opponents. They've lost 8 of their last 10. The loss to Virginia Tech was earned Virginia Tech a season split in that series. NC State actually won at Blacksburg a few weeks ago. Watching the game, the Hokies seem to me to expose among the weaknesses for NC State that I noticed, they are weak on the back end of the defense. They allowed the Hokies to dominate the paint. Virginia Tech had a 34-22 advantage in points in the paint. 30 of those were on shots at the rim. They were 15 of 20 at the rim. And they were just easy little passes to the post, lane cuts that Justin Mutz and Keve Aluma were kind of giving to each other, those little passes to each other. Mutz was 6 of 8 from the field, 13 points. Aluma, 5 of 7 from the field, 10 points. NC State ranks 204th in the nation in adjusted defensive efficiency. There's 358 teams, and they are bottom half. And that stands out when you're talking about an ACC team. Not good. Synergy Sports rates NC State is poor at defending those lane cuts that I mentioned. Just simple things. It seems like they want to double team the ball in the post, kind of like Virginia does, the post-to-post double or just a post-double. And no one picks up the other post. So if you're the other post, if say Jaden Gardner's getting doubled, if you're Francisco Cafaro or Caden Shedrick, just run to the rim, and you're likely to get a layup or a dunk. Wolfpack allows opponents to shoot 73.6% and score 1.324 points per possession on cuts in the lane. Now, those are just astounding numbers. It's almost like just be patient, run your offense. And if you're Virginia, that's what Virginia does. But be patient, run your offense. Emphasize getting the ball inside. Don't just pass the ball around the perimeter. Try to dribble, penetrate, get the ball into your bigs, however you can, and then just dive to the rim. It would seem to be something that would work well. So let's talk about the positive things again for NC State. And this is on the other end. They're tough to guard. Darion Sebron, 6'7" sophomore. He's a stretch four. At least that's the way Kevin Keats plays him. 19.3 points, 9.4 rebounds a game. 3.4 assists a game. Actually also leads NC State 53% from the field, just 22.6% from three. Almost like you want to say, dude, don't shoot threes. You're so good at getting to the rim. Don't shoot threes. You need to watch him in transition. And I know Virginia doesn't give up a lot of points in transition, but this team will push you or try to push you on either live ball turnovers or long rebounds. You need to watch him on offensive stick backs and also on those lane cuts himself. He's pretty good at those. Also Kevin Keats uses Sebron for some reason a lot in pick and roll as the ball handler. And he's had 130 possessions this season as a ball handler in pick and roll. That's roughly 7 per game. And actually you'll live with that if you're the defense. He shoots 40.7%. He turns the ball over on 21.5%. So it's feast or famine. From the state perspective, Tre'Quavion Smith, 6'4 point guard. So big point guard. It's going to be a matchup problem for Virginia. Usually is. with Virginia having a 5'9" point guard in Kitty A. Clark. Tre'Quavion Smith, 14.6 points per game, mostly as a spot up guy. He shoots 35% from three, some in transition as on the secondary break. And also you have to watch in the secondary break, a much more effective shooter, a Jericho Helm, 6'7" senior, 14.2 points per game, 40.2% from three. Great spot up shooter, great on the break as a secondary break option, kind of trailing the break. And, you know, you're still sort of setting your defense back or getting your defense reset or set or reset. He's really good at finding spots and getting open looks. At two guard, you've seen some upheaval at NC State. And those three, as good as they are, the other two positions are just as bad for this NC State team. The former starter, started 13 games this year, Cam Hayes, he's been relegated to some, you know, almost like mop-up duty or like eighth guy off the bench in an eight-man rotation duty. 8.3 points per game on the season, but just 3.2 points per game over the Pac's last eight games. And he's shooting just 18% from the field in the last eight. So he's lost his starting job. Right now, it's Thomas Allen, who averages just 4 points a game, shoots 29.7% from three, and then Casey Morsell. Now, Morsell's season stats look better than his recent stats. I'll give the season stats, 7.3 points a game, 38% from three. He had 11 points against Tech. He made his first three three-pointers, ended up 4 of 7 from the field overall, 3 of 4 from three. But going into that game, Morsell, as you're familiar with the name, he's the Virginia transfer. He'd averaged just 3 points a game over his previous nine and was shooting 7 of 37, 18.9% from the floor. So you got two of your two guards on this team, Morsell and Hayes, getting significant minutes for this team right now, and they're shooting 18% each over the last several games. Ebenezer Duanoa, I'm going to guess, and I'm probably wrong on that. I'm not as wrong as calling Caden Shedrick Cedric or anything of that nature, but Dowu Ona, let's just go with that. 4.0 points per game, 4.7 rebounds a game, actually plays 26 minutes a game. So that's not a lot of numbers for a guy playing 26 minutes a game. And he is a sieve on defense. He's the guy on the back end that just doesn't do a great job. Opponents shoot 52.6% from the floor, score 1.35 points per possession. And he's the guy you attack. You also, you attack at the two guard, you attack at the five. The matchups now for Virginia, and you got to look at the big matchup defensively, two matchups defensively. I'll go with the key one being Jaden Gardner on Darion Sebron. Gardner is 6'7 as well, but he's a very different 6'7 than Sebron. Sebron is a guy that, you know, I think he'll get a look in the NBA, maybe be a two-way guy, G League NBA guy. Sebron's going to play the small forward in the NBA. He's a lithe guy. He's not, you know, Gardner's more of a, you know, sort of a, Zach Randolph kind of reminds, maybe not quite as big, you know, Barkley-like in a sense, not talent maybe, obviously, but, you know, bigger, beefier guy at 6'7". Gardner's going to be challenged here to keep up with Darion Sebron. He's going to be challenged to stay out of foul trouble guarding him. Of course, on the other end, I think he's going to have some advantage too, just because, you know, he's going to be bigger and stronger in the post. But Gardner's going to have some issues getting that assignment, with that assignment. And there's really no other way to play this based on, because NC State's three best players are 6'7", 6'7", and 6'4", and the point guard 6'5", and the point guard being 6'5", there's just no way around having to – you can't put Armon Franklin on Sebron, because Armon Franklin's going to have to guard Helms. I was looking at my notes and couldn't find what I had there, but he's going to have to guard Helms, and he's going to give up a couple inches to Helms. So, you know, that's the issue here. Helms is going to, you know, likely get Franklin. Gardner's going to have to stick as much as he can with Sebron. Now, you know, part of that is if you're going to need some help from your bigs, Francisco Cafaro has been getting the starts of late. Caden Shedrick off the bench has been playing very well off the bench, and I think that'll, as a result, continue. It's been helping him stay a little bit out of the foul trouble, at least the early foul trouble. But you're going to need some help from those guys, and then some help on the back end when those guys slide over, to make sure that Dowuona will not really struggling with that name. I should look at the pronunciation guide. That guy won't get some cheap offensive rebounds as a result. So Tough matchup there for Gardner, and that's going to be something that's going to really be a key in this game for Virginia. I think Virginia is going to go. I think Tony Bennett's going to go with Reese Beekman on Smith, Turquavion Smith on offense. And it helps that Kea Clark can probably guard Allen. Thomas Allen's been starting for NC State at the two guard. He's 6'1". That's not going to be a problem for Kea there. And Beekman, I mean, he's been, you know, lights out on defense. We know he leads the ACC in steals. He's an excellent defender rated by Synergy Sports. Allowing 30.4% shooting by opponents and forcing turnovers on 24% of their usages. So that's an astounding number. And then on the offensive end, Beekman's been a great defender since the day he walked on grounds. Lately, though, his past seven games, averaging 13.2 points, 56.7% shooting, 44.4% from three. He's becoming the all-around elite player that we've been expecting to see. Because he's getting a jump, he's showing a jump shot now, and as a result of that jump shot, he can get to the rim a little more easily. He was 3 of 5 on threes. He got to the rim 5 times, four layups and a dunk, 5 of 5 on the night against Pitt in the 66-61 win. So that'll be key. Also key will be Caden Jedrick and Francisco Cafaro, the aforementioned, avoiding foul trouble. They both fouled out of the win over Pitt on Wednesday. Had good games. Shedrick was 6 of 6 from the field, ended up with 12 points. Cafaro was a modest 2 of 3 for 4 points, had 5 rebounds. They both fouled out. You know, they both had issues on the defensive end. But when you add it up, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 of 9 shooting, you'll take that in 40 minutes from your five. That's pretty much worse than all ACC second team five. So, but they've got to stay out of foul trouble. They're going to have to help on defense. It's going to be a game that it's going to really test both those guys. So we're going to need 40 good minutes out of those guys. I'm not sure what's wrong. I mentioned Kea Clark. I think, yeah, I did mention him on the defensive end. Lately, he's been struggling big time. Scoring numbers all the way down to 8.1 points per game. He was recently, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, still averaging right around 10. In his last 5 games, averaging 6.4 points, just 3.0 assists, and shooting just 26.8%. So Virginia's going to need Kea Clark to get off the schneid and be able to contribute in this game. I don't know. I've not heard of any injury issues. Doesn't look injured. He had foul trouble in the Wake Forest game, I think it was. He had the foul trouble and only got 22 minutes in that game. But Kea has not been the same lately. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Again, I think what it comes down to is NC State's got those great athletes. They've got those great – and they're not just athletes, great basketball players, the big three. I think the criticism of Kevin Keats is he's had some really good recruiting. He's got some really good players, and it just doesn't seem like there's any cohesion. I think you really see that with this team. So I think this NC State team can give Virginia fits. They certainly did last year, a much better Virginia team. I believe that game was a loss for us last year. So this could be and it's on the road at NC State. A chance here for let's see, on the road, actually NC State with their net ranking being so low, it's probably a quad three game. Might sneak into quad two territory. But it actually is. You know, now that I think about it, they're anything between 75 and something like 135 on the road is still a quad two game. So Virginia needs some quality wins. This would be a quality win, a road win, sort of a, I don't want to say a must win, but it's starting to feel like that. I would put it close to that, as close to that territory as I could possibly do. Tip is 4:00 on Saturday. I won't do a live blog during the game. We only do live blogs when we're at the arena. But we will have a post-game. Myself, Scott German, will have a post-game recap. My recaps are more detailed than most recaps. I'll try to give the insight of inside the numbers, that kind of thing. We'll find a couple of angles to hit after that as well. And Scott German will have his take tomorrow evening. So the game will be starting at 4. ACC Network is the home. So start looking around 6:30, 6:45 for the first of our 4 or 5 stories recapping that game. And then Sunday, I'll probably come in with either Sunday or Monday, but I think Sunday we'll come in with a podcast to recap sort of our thinking on the game. So, hey, one little bit of news to share here outside of basketball as we wrap the show up. Virginia's going to have a spring football game, an actual spring football game, not a spring football festival, not a practice that you were going to call the spring whatever, an actual spring football game announced today. And that's Tony Elliott coming from Clemson, Big Boy Football USA. You know, crowds at some of these events at the places like Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State and, you know, the big schools, football wise, they'll draw good crowds. They'll sometimes you'll get sellout crowds for the spring game, which is still, it's a glorified scrimmage, right? But I mean, when you call it a spring football festival, or you literally just have a practice and invite a few people out, and you're not going to get a lot of folks there. Dating back, I mean, I don't remember even Al Groh having spring games. He may have, and you can correct, people can correct me on that. I don't remember it. I know the Mike London era, they were practices that I went to one as a fan. Just, I mean, you know, I had my notebook with me to write some notes down, but I didn't sit in the press box. I just sat out there, and there was a baseball game that day, so I figured, hey, I'll watch a little bit of football and then get over to the baseball game. And you know, there were, I mean, maybe literally, if there were 200 people there that day, I'd be surprised. You know, maybe that's thrown off by the fact that, you know, it's a 60,000 seat stadium, and even if you had 1,000 people there and spread out, it wouldn't look like a lot, but it wasn't a lot of people there. This could be a spring game. I don't know if a lot of people, folks listening, It's going to be Saturday, April 23rd. Should be good weather. I mean, it should be certainly warmer than it is now when it's 17 degrees outside with snow on the ground where I am, and frozen, just a big 6-inch sheet of ice now out there. looking forward, it's 3 months away, but looking forward to the April 23rd, just the idea of April 23rd is something exciting. I had to note, I wrote a little column about this. I had to note that the press release from UVA Athletics referred to it as the annual spring game. If something's annual, it means you have it every year. Maybe they intend to have it every year after this, but there's, you know, one of the rules of journalism is there's no first annual. We have to wait till at least year two before we can call it annual. Anyway, hey, we got a spring game and it's April 23rd. They haven't given a date, haven't given a time. They've given a date, April 23rd. Haven't given a time yet for the spring game. It's 3 months away. So what the heck? We don't need to worry about the time. We'll worry about that later. We'll get that to you later as far as that goes. So, but exciting for spring football at University of Virginia on grounds. And they're going to actually do something that's not just going to be a glorified practice. Last year, sat in the press box. It was mainly just because I wanted to sit in the press box after, you know, that weird 2020 COVID season and see what was going on. It was a practice. They did like a half hour of calisthenics. Then all of a sudden, and then they were running some drills like they do before games, you know, where the different units, you know, warm up a little bit. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, I think they're doing whatever they're doing now. we kind of realized about 5 minutes into whatever they were doing. Hey, they're doing whatever they're doing now. And then, you know, 45 minutes, an hour, whenever it might've been later, they were done. I imagine if you're going to call it a spring game, they're going to actually have something of a spring game. Maybe even keep stats like some schools do. Anyway, looking forward to that. Hard to believe we're only about a month away from baseball starting. It's just hard to fathom when you look outside. I'm in Waynesboro. Folks, if you're in the western part of Virginia, if you're in probably the Piedmont area, you probably still have a lot of snow on the ground. Mine, you know, we our city didn't ever get to our street. we never got to our street, so we didn't do much with our driveway because we were waiting for the city to do whatever it was going to do in the street. And you know, we had a day, what was it, Wednesday, it was 45 degrees, thought it might melt, didn't melt, and now that it's 17 degrees, it's just frozen solid. So good thing we got a four-wheel drive. We live on a hill and got to get up that hill, but it's hard to believe baseball. I'm looking at the schedule here real quick. The UVA baseball team coming off the College World Series, I'm not seeing us getting any top 25 love, preseason top 25 love, which is a little whatever. The team starts on the road naturally February 18th, Friday, February 18th. That's less than a month away. That's 4 weeks from today. Whoa. Start down in Boiling Springs, North Carolina. And, of course, Boiling Springs, North Carolina getting snow right now. Boiling Springs is a very aspirational name, I would think. Bellarmine, Gardner Webb, North New Jersey, NJIT, that weekend. So the home opener is Tuesday, February 22nd, so a month and a day from today. VMI, the traditional home opener. Always fun to get over to Davenport to see that. First weekend series is Friday, February 25th, 26th, and 27th with Cornell. A midweek game with William & Mary. You got Penn State in the next weekend, Friday, March 4th, 5th, and 6th, then with Penn State. Open the ACC on the road at Duke, the defending ACC tournament champion. Let's see, the first ACC home series is Boston College. Also this season, you got Wake Forest at home. Wake Forest on the road. You got Georgia Tech at home, at Miami the following weekend, at Pitt that next weekend. Carolina comes to Charlottesville April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Hey, it sounds like to me could pull another doubleheader there if the folks in UVA sports marketing are smart. You'll get a chance to maybe watch a spring game, and then if they time it right, you can head over to the baseball game. I hope they do time that right on that particular Saturday, April 23rd. Virginia Tech comes to Charlottesville the 29th, 30th, and May 1st. And then Clemson, final home series, 13th, 14th, and 15th of May, Clemson in Charlottesville. The Hoos finish on the road in ACC play at Louisville, which should be a fun one. Louisville, actually, when we played them last year, I think they were ranked in the top 10, took 2 of 3 in Charlottesville. Virginia was still right around 500 at that time. Season ends, Virginia gets an NCAA tournament bid, and Louisville didn't. Virginia ends up in the College World Series. So it's kind of funny how things can work as far as that goes, but that'll be the concluding series of the season. So it looks like, we're a month away. Thanks for your time today. You got questions, comments, anything for me, please email me at AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. That email address is all over our website. Can't miss it in case you didn't write it down when you were listening to me there. But love to hear from you. Thanks for your time. Everyone, have a great day.